Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Ad Project Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Shellard from Ad Advance, and today I'm joined by Keith O'Brien. Keith, it's awesome to have you on the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, so we're recording this from Amazon Accelerate. It's really fun to do these interviews live and in person. Keith, for those who don't know you, could you give us a quick background, what you do, how you got in the space?
Sure, thanks, Joe. So I guess I've been in the Amazon world about 9 years. So, and I think December 2014 is when I started.
Yeah.
So that first business was a very specific service for third-party sellers that drove product reviews to their newly launched products, right? So this was back when Amazon allowed you to do it.
Yep, yep.
Back in the good old days. And so
yeah, I utilized some of those services myself.
Yeah. So a good friend of mine started that company. I partnered in and then I took it over like May of 2015. And so that started the journey. That was a great business. We had a couple thousand seller clients all over the world, and it was all good until it wasn't. And then we shut that down in October 2016. And we had been giving away optimization strategies to our clients because it made our campaigns work better. And so back then, like, photos were sell from a cell phone and there was barely any copy on the page. And so we just started teaching people how to optimize listings. And so when we pivoted into the agency, we started there, and then we wrapped around photography and design. Then we wrapped around ad management. And then we had, about a year later, wrapped around full brand management.
Sure.
And that's what we're focused on now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so one reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is to talk through videos.
Cool.
And you have a lot of exposure there on what works, how it performs on the Amazon ad platform.
Sure.
And really get your takes on that, because, you know, as advertising continues to grow, just utilizing video content, it gets more and more important overall. And then another thing that we can probably wrap up too is, like, we can talk through the conference and how it's been going so far and everything, but maybe let's start on the video side. So, like, for us, as we're looking at different video content, so like sponsor brand video, this has always been one of the really solid performing ad types that we
have.
Sure,
100%.
Yeah. And so kind of just walk us through what you're seeing in terms of overall video advertising, what's your take on it, and then we can go through some best practices there.
Okay. Yeah, I think everyone that's been selling for a while has seen that Amazon's gotten much more visually driven over the years. And like a lot of other platforms, it goes from the still image to still image with graphics to, you know, design features, and then now video. And, you know, I think arguably video is the most impactful. So I think, like, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like, all brands want to have videos for their products, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes they're cost prohibitive, or at least they think they're cost prohibitive, right?
Sure.
And especially when you start looking at a catalog of 50 or 100 or 200 SKUs, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I think you got to cover your bases, right? You know, you need it on your PDP page, right? To replace, you know, image number 7. You know, you've seen it in some categories. They've beta tested where that video will autoplay in the search results.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if there's any better way to stand out on the search results, I don't know it. Like, that's it, right? Something starts moving. So you need it there. You know, if your catalog's big enough, now you have Premium A Plus options, which is a free service to sellers, to brands, and you can add another video there,
yep,
which is great. Now you've got 2 videos in the scroll of just looking at your PDP page.
Sure.
And then you can add a variety of different videos for a variety of different reasons to your storefront,
yeah,
right? You know, it's not the topic of today, but we're really bullish on stores. And, you know, we've had clients where it's generated 25% of their overall revenue. You know, we have stores that do over $1 million a year for clients. It's just been fantastic. And video is a big component of the engagement on the store.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. And there's so many different components that we can talk about with video.
Yep.
Like, if we focus on the advertising, yep, side, and we look at metrics there, like, for what we see, like, you have sponsor product top of search ads, they get, yep, a huge click-through rate, huge conversion rate, but then right after that there's video. And what's so cool with that is, like you said, people are scrolling through the search results,
right,
your video is playing,
Correct.
And what's even cooler about the ad type is that it's on a cost per click basis.
Right.
And so it almost gives people a preview of your product.
Correct. Yeah.
And if they don't like it, they're not going to click on it, and you don't have to pay for that.
Correct.
But with that, it definitely captures a ton of attention, and we see some really high click-through rates and really solid performance from those ads after that.
Because to get to your video, they've already had to skip over like the best sellers, the second row, the highly rated, and it's a because it's about a maybe halfway down on page one, right?
Yeah.
And so they've already had to do a little bit of shopping, and so they're a little bit further in the decision-making process instead of like the very first thing they see at the top of search.
Yeah.
So yeah, it performs really well. And you know, we're big fans. Like, creative is becoming a much bigger play in the advertising space on Amazon.
Sure.
And like Google was, you know, previously, we're going to start seeing agencies like yours and ours like starting to really start to do testing on creative, where I would say it's probably not a standard practice yet, right? Like, you get something, it works, and then to iterate on that. But we're big on that when it comes to videos, and that's part of how we design and develop videos for clients.
Sure. So when you're looking at implementing a video, so what's some standard best practices? Or you get to see enough where you know, okay, this one's going to perform well, or this one we should probably revamp. Like, what's some key things that you're looking at?
Yeah, I will say we definitely have a formula, but I will say there's always exceptions to the rules, right?
Sure.
Like, I've seen videos that were created by the free video generator that's in the ad console that perform incredibly well, and they are horrible, right? But it's kind of like in the old days, like some of the ugliest websites convert the best, right? So sometimes you just don't know. And depends on your category, because there's generally always available inventory in this, you know, in the ad space. There's still a lot of great keywords that don't even have video playing in the search results, right? So you can be ugly if you're the only one, right? So
what I'm hearing is, first, don't worry if it's not like the super polished video.
If you don't have anything today, you can have a video done in 15 minutes. So get something going, so you at least have a baseline of metrics of data, right? So that when you do go invest in better creative, you have something to compare it against. And hopefully the better creative outperforms the free one, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the first part of video is you need a hook, right? So it doesn't have to be the traditional hook, like you need to lean into like a pain point. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, great. But we call it, you need a pattern interrupt, right? So someone is scrolling down the page, you need them to stop.
Sure.
Right? They can't click unless they stop. And so you need to do something in the first 1 to 3 seconds to get them to stop.
So what's like some examples of that?
Yeah, there's so many, right? It could be fast changing images.
Sure.
It could be something coming towards the camera, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, coming towards the camera, right? Like literally holding a product. And it doesn't have to necessarily have anything to do with the video story. It just needs to be
something that you don't expect that captures the attention.
100%. So it could be big, bold words. It could be, you know, something breaking, something going on fire, something coming through the screen. I mean, there's literally an endless number of them.
Yeah.
It's best when it fits into the story, but it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your take on, all right, we've captured people's attention. So I've seen feature-based videos.
Yeah.
I've seen lifestyle videos. Like, what's your take and what's kind of best practices for when you use each?
I think in advertising, like, you just need to sell the sizzle, right?
Sure.
Because the job really of the video ad is to get them to click to your listing.
Yeah.
Right? So the hook gets them to stop. The rest of the video gets them to click. You are pre-selling your product a little bit, but your PDP page on its own should do a good enough job of that if you get them there, you know, you should convert them, right? So I think we want to get them to stop and then get them emotionally in the place to where they're leaning in to buy.
Yeah.
So that could be, we use a lot of UGC in video ads now. Like, UGC is also a great part of that initial pattern interrupt, a couple of edited in UGC reels, and then start telling more of a story of the product.
Sure.
We like to focus on one big pain point and show the product as a solution.
Okay.
And the video, the new, we used to do about 25 second video ads, and now it's formatting even shorter to about 15 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, watch how long they watch it, and if it doesn't work well, change it up a little bit. But we always do, we create a video, we do three different lead-ins. So we'll do three different hooks.
Yeah.
So that as a customer, as a brand, you can go test it and then run with which one does best.
Sure. Sure. And then when you're looking at testing it, like how do you set that up? Like how do you evaluate the results?
I think that's a better question directed towards you. But I mean, you need to have only one variable right of the test. And if it's a different creative, then you really got to go after, you know, you can run them simultaneously. You can run them against each other, you know, a week at a time and just test the results.
Yep.
You know, I like to have one play out and, you know, and I'm not the ad guy in my agency, but so we'll get one finished and then we'll switch up to creative, run it again, switch up to creative, run it again, and then keep the one that whatever's best.
Yep. Yep. I love that. Yeah. And what we try to do is we're like split testing different creatives is like, we'll try to set up the campaign exactly the same. So you want to reduce any of the other variables that are out there. So then you just get the true results of the split test.
I mean, I don't know. You probably know, but eventually maybe Amazon allows the creatives to rotate.
Yep.
Like the old, what's the old Tableau or whatever that was for Google? Like it, as soon as one outperformed it, like they do for managed experiments, right?
With
image testing. Eventually they'll get there, right?
Yeah. You know,
always day one.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing you talked about, like, so stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really bullish on that. Like, what makes a good store?
So the unique part, I mean, unless you're in premium beauty as a category, right? The store is the only, like, premium space where you do not have competition.
Sure.
Right? I mean, premium beauty, you pay Amazon another 15 points to allow to have no one to be able to advertise on your PDP pages.
Yeah.
But the store for most brands is the only place that you don't have ads. And so you have a captured high buying intent, you know, shopper. I mean, they've gotten to your store predominantly from your PDP pages.
Yeah.
You know, the next best will be from sponsored brand ads, right? Mm-hmm. If you're targeting the store or, you know, your posts and off Amazon traffic. But by and large, I mean, 80% is coming from your PDP pages. And like, there's a lot of people that have never done it. Like, we shop on Amazon, like clicking into the store is obviously, you know, generally not something that we do, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And so we've seen it work best, I think. And when catalogs are large, when catalogs have highly relatable, working together type products, premium products, you know, they're going to look to see more information and just get a little bit more trust in the brand or just really cool stuff. And then people want to see what else you make, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think the biggest mistakes that we see on storefronts are not giving people the chance to buy on the homepage, like making it really pretty, but not functional.
And, yeah.
You know, e-commerce 101, if you put another click in the middle, it's going to reduce, you know, conversion. So you got to feature your best-selling products on the homepage.
Yep.
You should do it right next to really great creative that additionally sells the product, right? Because keep in mind, they generally have already looked through your image stack. They've already seen your A+, and now they're coming back to learn more. Make navigation super easy, right? So you've got the top navigation like every website, but we're a big fan of big, bold, block style navigation within the homepage.
Sure.
So feature your best sellers, give them a way to follow you so that you can get a follower, make it easy. Create pages for special things like bestsellers. You know, you might have them on your homepage, but also have a bestseller navigation.
Yeah.
Right? If you do seasonal stuff, you know, the storefront's great to bring in seasonal promotions. You can create a seasonal tab for the holidays and drive traffic to that. You can have your holiday specials, your this special, your that special, Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatnot. But mostly make it easy and make it just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. Right. And I love that too, because like what we talk about quite a bit on the podcast is how do you increase your lifetime value of your customer? And one way you can do that is using your storefront to really cross sell your different products 100%. Together.
We've redesigned for brands that we manage lots of storefronts. Like on average, we'll see a 40 to 60% higher AOV on the storefront.
Sure.
I mean, which it's significant, right? Yeah. So one of our clients I'm thinking of, they do about $10 million a year. Their PDP page AOV is like $42 and it's like $64 on the storefront.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's huge.
Yep.
Yeah. So it is. You can tell your story a little bit deeper. You can get people a little bit further into the experience of your brand. You can really play on the emotional points because you have so much more space, sure. right? And, you know, I think it's just a great opportunity to kind of put more of the depth of your brand experience in front of the customer, which is what's sending the AOV up.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing you touched on before too is, all right, the intent of your video is to get them on your product detail page where you can click. So what I'm hearing is have a nice focus message where sometimes I'll see videos trying to cover like every single feature of a product. Like you want to just have a very focused message
Correct.
With the primary intent to get them to click over.
Yeah, I mean, ads, getting them to click. And then once they're on the detail page, your videos there should have completely different, right?
Sure. So walk through what the video should look like on the product detail page.
So let's say we're replacing image number 7, right? That should be specifically about the product at a little bit more depth. And so promotional videos that show features, benefits work well there.
Yeah.
If your product is somewhat complicated, maybe an instructional video, sure. how this works, if it's got some weird, you know, special tech to it, or, you know, if one of the buying kind of blocks is like how to install it or put it together, those work really, you want to do what works for your product, sure. right? And just think through and where the buyer gets stopped in their journey and try to remove that by a video. Video does what a photo can never do it, and a video is going to do it like that.
Yep.
Right? So it depends on what the product is, you know, but there's like 5 or 6 kind of big things that work for PDP pages, and you should have something of like that.
Yep. Yeah. Like one fun example that I always see, like I've got 3 kiddos. And so like you see the still pictures of say like toys or like science kits or different things like that. Cause I'm a nerd.
Okay.
And so what I love seeing is in the videos like that actually in use or people playing with it or using 100%. It. Yeah. And so it's just, how do you portray what people will get out of that product after?
And like that's way better than like a video where it's a still picture of your product and it says easy to use, you know, appropriate for ages 8 to 12. Just you can say that stuff, but having those graphics come on top of kids actually doing what the graphics say, way more impactful.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. So we're at Accelerate.
Yep.
Yeah. Any key takeaways that you've had from the conference? Any key things that have stuck out?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. This is my first year here. I mean, obviously, I've been going to conferences for 8 or 9 years, right?
Yeah.
The last Amazon focus conference I went to was Boost in New York, which was 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you went or not, but they've come a long way, right? I think the biggest thing for me overall, and then I'll get into some specifics, is the last couple of years, I think the it's become much more obvious Amazon's commitment and support of actual sellers,
sure.
right? Where I don't think that anyone was said that they were committed to support sellers 5 years ago, but it was customer focused. And even they said from stage, right? Like, you are our customers, right? Which I don't think I've ever heard anyone at Amazon say, right? So, but the amount of features and additional tools that are coming out and coming through the pipeline. I mean, you look at the ad platform. I mean, it's insanely robust compared to last year and like a completely transformation from 3 or 4 years ago.
Yep.
Right. So with that kind of in mind, I think the brand tailored promotions are one of my favorite new tools.
Sure.
We've been testing and playing around with it for the last couple of weeks.
And for those who aren't familiar, kind of walk through what that looks like.
So it's this cool little platform for brand registered folks, and it segments out different pieces of your customers and potential customers. For example, you can target now and put a promotion in front of people that have gone to your one of your detail pages, mm-hmm. added your product to the cart, and then didn't buy. So sure. Cart abandons, right? Which you can't be more bottom of the funnel than that, yeah. right? You know, so unless they can, you can target people that have their credit card in their hand, right? Like, I mean, it's bottom of the funnel. So we've been running tests with that, and you can actually send a discount to them that shows up on the search results, on the SERP, and then on the detail pages, but only to the people that are in that target group.
Sure.
So all the other shoppers don't see it, and you can deliver this little discount to them, minimum 10%. And so, you know, we have a client that we've added between $5,000 and $6,000 a week to their revenue just from that little promo. And these are by and large people that would not have bought, sure. right? So that's awesome. You can target potential new customers. You can target your best customers, your repeat purchasers. There's now already 9 different segmentations that you can target. So it's really cool. And I think that will continue to evolve and get better and refine itself as, you know, Amazon starts getting feedback of more and more sellers using it. So the data goes up.
Sure.
So that's a cool one. I think where they're starting to use AI is really interesting. Mm-hmm. There is now a listing generation tool inside of Amazon. Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
I mean, we write listings as part of our business, and I'm generally not a fan of giving my creative work over to Amazon, but sure. we're at least going to test it and try it.
Yeah.
You know, look, like any AI, it generally needs a human to make sure it's working well.
Yeah. And it can be a good starting point, but then we need some tweaks.
The machines haven't taken completely over.
Yeah.
The other one that was interesting yesterday, Joe, is... they have an AI compilation tool around reasons for returns.
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, imagine you get your returns over a quarter. You've got whatever. You've got a couple hundred returns. It's pulling out the data that is similar.
Yeah.
And so if you see words or phrases that are mentioned over and over again, it can give you some really great insight into making product iterations to fix these things that you might not have ever found before.
Yep.
You know, because sifting through that stuff, like, you know,
it takes a while. And so that was really cool where they would segment down all the key pain points.
Correct.
Yep. So then you can use that, improve your product.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, you know, if it also evolves to where it can do that on your reviews, right, and then pull that stuff out, can use that to highlight in your listings. But we'll see how it gets and how it evolves. But they're doing some cool stuff.
I love it. Yeah. Some other feedback that I've heard too is just when you're at these conferences put on by Amazon, you get a lot of exposure to different people on the product teams too. And so we've got a number of clients here, and that's been some feedback I've heard there.
Likewise.
Is that they've been able to meet with their account manager or their account reps, or get access to key questions or concerns or different areas like that. And so if you haven't attended Accelerate, that's another key benefit, is getting direct access and really putting, like, faces on, you know, there's people behind all these different programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just seeing the focus there. And
it puts some humanity to it, right? Because, like, when they're behind the computer or the phone, like, you know, like, sometimes it can be like, you know, you work so hard, you have these issues, you don't understand why something's not working.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget that it's, you know, someone just like you on the other side that just happens to work for Amazon, and they actually do want to help
for
you.
Sure.
Maybe not seller support so much, but like all the other people inside of the room, but they do. They want to help you, and they're going to try to find the answer. Oh, one more last thing that I didn't even know it exists. So something happens on an account. We create a ticket through seller support, right? Yeah. And, you know, a huge percentage of them get closed without getting solved, right? So they give a canned response. it is what it is, or they give a response that really doesn't have anything to do with what you asked, right? And so, and then they get closed. So, like, I met with the seller forums team and I had no idea. I just thought, like, I've always been in there and it's just sellers talking to each other, but it's actually a place for us to go escalate cases. And so you take that case ID that is unresolved in your mind, maybe closed by Amazon, and plug it in there, and the seller forum reps will go and escalate that internally at Amazon to the department that needs to see.
That's
it.
Awesome.
It's amazing. That's a good tip. Like that little tip right there is gonna, you know, make a big difference internally for us.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Awesome. Good summary. There's been a ton of other updates too. We'll go through and do some posts on some other updates that they had, but love you going through that. If people want to seek out and find you, how do they get in contact? Where should they go?
Yeah, so agency is page one. So that's page.1. I mean, I think we come up number one if you do page1.com too. But, but I generally communicate with people through LinkedIn. It's probably the best place to find me first. And, we're both pushing content up there all the time. And so it's become a great little community and really full of great, great content. And you've been contributing big time to that. So, but that's where we're at. And yeah, we're based down in South Florida. And so, you know, we get to work in the sunshine, unlike you half the year.
A little bit different than Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah, unlike you half the year. But, like, this time of year, I'd rather be in Minnesota. Sure. You know, September, man, the leaves are changing.
We've got our good times, yeah.
The leaves are changing. It's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're not following Keith, definitely follow Keith O'Brien on LinkedIn. Tons of great content. Keith, really appreciate you joining the podcast.
Thanks, man. Well, you know, we've known each other for years, and so we finally got a chance to sit down, which is awesome. And congrats, man. You've done just a fantastic job at AntEvents. And literally, like, the entire time in this industry, I don't think I've ever talked to a client post when you worked with them that wasn't happy.
That's awesome.
A lot to say.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, thank you, Keith. And for all those who are listening to the Ad Project podcast, as always, we appreciate you listening. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, Joe.